It's Wednesday, time for our weekly discussion of the latest in state politics with the Dakota Political Junkies. Joining us today is veteran South Dakota journalist Kevin Wooster, also reports for KELO-TV in Rapid City. And Kevin, it's nice to talk with you again.
Carl, good to be back.
Also with us on the line is Seth Tupper, editor of the Mitchell Daily Republic. And Seth, thanks for coming on the program today.
Thanks for having me.
Well, the 2014 legislative session has seen several proposals to remove the Common Core education standards. Yesterday, the House rejected a measure that would have let students opt out of Common Core standardized tests. Lawmakers also rejected a non-binding resolution opposed to Common Core. There's still a couple of bills alive, one regarding student privacy data and another about waiting to adopt any new education standards. Kevin, does it look at this point that the Common Core education standards will survive this session?
I would think so. You know, the governor's with them and has made some, taken some position stands in favor of those things. And there are a couple of things left that you mentioned that I think he's okay with, the privacy data issue and maybe some delays on new educational standards under the Common Core framework. But I'll be a little surprised if the main effort to try and dismantle this thing goes anywhere.
So, Seth Tupper, does it look like, or do you think that the end of this session will resolve debate over Common Core, or will it just maybe take other avenues, go in other areas?
I tend to think it'll be resolved. You know, I never quite understood the uproar over it anyway. I think, as I've said before when you've asked about it, I think that was just a flashpoint that people latched on to be mad about. That was a specific thing they could direct their anger toward, when really they're angry at a broader set of issues, directed back toward the federal government and President Obama. But, you know, all the while they've been raising this ruckus about Common Core and Pure. I have a daughter in first grade who's been educated all year long under the Common Core standards, and as have other kids throughout the state. So, I mean, it's becoming embedded, after this school year, they'll have a whole year under their belt, and they didn't get much done, as we can see so far in the session, to dismantle the Common Core standards. So I got to think that after this session, we put the school year behind us, it's all going to kind of blow over, and it'll just be, the way it is after that.
Kevin Wooster, do you agree?
Yeah, I would think so. I think that Seth is right in terms of this being kind of a galvanizing point that has a much broader base, and the governor's been pretty clear on it, and I think overall the standards seem to be accepted and are being worked with in a way that seems positive mostly.
Well, Seth, does it seem that because it has the support of Governor Dugard that these efforts to undermine Common Core that they weren't going to go anywhere?
Well, I think it wasn't just because of the governor's support of Common Core, but I think it had brought pretty broad support too, I think, from legislators, and maybe not all legislators are out willing to say that publicly that they're a big fan of Common Core. But I think the main thrust of the opposition was really a fairly small group, and of course, as is usually the case in these kinds of things, they were the loudest group. But I think because of that, this whole push to attack the Common Core was probably doomed from the beginning, because it was just really a vocal minority from what I saw anyway.
Kevin Wooster, looking at Governor Dugard's reelection campaign this year, even though he hasn't announced that he will seek reelection, it's assumed that he will. Do you think that his support of the Common Core will have any impact at all on any of his campaign efforts?
Well, first of all, on the governor's behalf, I'd like to announce his reelection campaign. I have no office or position, but that's going to happen.
It's official.
And I can't imagine this has any significant effect on his campaign. I think the people that are really working hard against Common Core don't support the governor and aren't likely to support the governor, most of them. And I think most of the rest of the people, as Seth said, haven't been energized by this and aren't likely to, unless there's something new out there that we haven't seen. And, folks are creative about working with issues, so we've still got a lot of time left on that. But I certainly wouldn't see it as any threat to his reelection chances.
The Common Core standards were expected to be among the hot issues during this session. Medicaid as well, and on Monday the State House rejected Medicaid expansion, and That vote came as a Democratic amendment to an alternative health care bill. Republicans, it seems, are either completely opposed to expansion, or others in the party say they're open to the idea if the federal government allows the state to come up with its own version of expansion. And Governor Dugard has made a request to Health and Human Services Secretary Kathleen Sebelius. The alternative health care bill, which would have created a state-funded health care plan, was defeated. Seth, does it, again, talking about resolving issues, if the governor's request is approved, will that settle the Medicare expansion issue in South Dakota?
I think there's probably a lot more to come on that and over an extended period of time. One thing that struck me about this debate has been the fact that there seems to be a decent number of Republicans who say they're willing to do something on this, who recognize a problem that, of people not being covered with insurance and taxpayers having to pick up the bill ultimately there when the bill goes to county commissioners, and a desire to get more people covered. And, of course, as you mentioned, there are people that are just dead set against Medicaid expansion, and they're never going to change their minds. But it does seem like there is a broad middle section there that maybe is willing to do something on this. And I don't know if it'll be resolved this session or if it'll drag out a lot longer than that, but it does seem like events are moving us toward doing something here that would get more people covered by Medicaid or would get more people covered by some compromise that is yet to be reached. That'd be my read on it anyway.
Kevin Wooster, what's your read?
Well, I think this is an issue more so than Common Core that has some heft and has some weight with a majority of people in this state, regardless of party, and it certainly would be supported, the expansion would be supported more strongly by Democrats, I think. But Republicans, as Seth mentioned, there's a fair number of Republicans interested in that issue. The governor himself is interested in ways to expand and ways to find a coverage balance that makes sense. So this is one that, to me, has a much longer shelf life and is much more likely to be an issue in a campaign that has some real relevance. And it's complicated, and the response by Sebelius will be interesting, and the governor's response to that will be interesting. And it's a work in progress, I think, for him and for most of the legislators.
Will it have any impact on his reelection campaign, Kevin?
I certainly think it has the potential to be more of a campaign point that the opponents of the governor could work with, and with some effect, they would have a broader reach, I think, on with this certainly than they would have with Common Core. Not that it would necessarily mean the difference in a campaign, because he would go in an overwhelming favorite, I would think. But it would still make an interesting debate point, I think, for a challenger.
Ms. Seth Tupper, as far as the Democrats are concerned with the Medicaid expansion in a campaign this fall, do you think it'll give them anything they could rally around, I guess, depending on what happens with what the federal government decides on the governor's request on a flexible Medicare expansion?
I do think it's an issue that obviously they're looking at, and they'd be smart to try to capitalize on. There are some narratives and some stories you can tell there, obviously, if you dig into it, about people that are struggling, people that have jobs that can't afford to get insurance, they could possibly use that in a campaign. And I think Kevin hit on a key point there about the difference between the Common Core debate and Medicaid. As I mentioned, I've got a child being educated under Common Core standards, so do thousands of other South Dakotans. And so you'd think that issue would have traction, but I've noticed that my daughter hasn't been turned into a communist this year. She hasn't turned green or anything, the Common Core standards. It's just, she's going to school and she's learning, just like kids have always done. And so I think people move on from that issue pretty quickly and recognize it as, maybe a lot of politicians grandstanding about something that maybe isn't quite as evil as it's made out to be. But with Medicaid, you've obviously, you've got people dealing with real health problems and real medical bills and struggling to find or keep insurance. And so that's an issue that, yes, I think that could be an issue in the campaign. And since it's as yet unresolved, it is something that maybe Democrats could use.
One of the debates that came up in the legislature this session that might have been something of a surprise was a resolution urging the federal government to reconsider hemp status as a controlled substance and recognize its viability as a crop. That failed in the Senate last week after being approved overwhelmingly in the House. Kevin, was this something that came out of left field, so to speak, or was this something that's been an issue that's been kind of under the that people have been talking about for a while?
Well, certainly, if it comes out of Elizabeth May's home district around the Kyle area, there's some you know, obviously down on the reservation, there's some interest there, and has been some efforts in the past to work on a hemp plan, and I think Stace Nelson spends a fair amount of his time in left field just looking around to see what's out there and what he might be able to work with. And, you know, this shows his maverick ways a little bit and his libertarian side. Come on over to the Libertarian Party, Stace. We'll welcome you. I think this is a fascinating issue myself because, first of all, the federal government is backing away on even marijuana law enforcement, so I'm assuming that they're doing the same thing with hemp. And, you know, you've got people, even people in the ag industry, that are interested in hemp as a crop. I know the law enforcement community says, well, that you have this around, then how do you fight the war on marijuana if you've got this thing that's kind of like it around? But with the whole marijuana issue and the way it's evolving in other states, and with people on the reservation now talking about the possibility of a vote there on whether or not they should try and legalize it there, and that puts the federal government in an interesting spot. I just think this is a fascinating issue, and it doesn't surprise me that certainly that somebody with the home district connections that Elizabeth May would have, and also with Stace Nelson's maverick style and libertarian leanings, that they'd be involved in it.
Seth, do you find this a fascinating issue as well?
I do, and it's been going on for years. You know, I know Kevin knows Bob Newland. Back when I had a chance to cover some things actually at the Capitol, seemingly every year he would be out there, you know, advocating for the legalization of hemp, going back 10, 15 years ago. And, so it's been around. I remember covering a hearing about it once at the Capitol, and I think it was a state trooper or somebody testifying that they were afraid somebody was going to grow this big field of hemp, and then deep in the middle of it there'd be this little circle of actual marijuana, and that would make enforcement tough. And I thought back then, and I still think that's a pretty thin argument. I mean, I'm not a scientist and I don't know much about it, but if you can't get high off of hemp, I guess I don't know why it would be illegal to grow it if there are legitimate uses for it. And so and as Kevin said, you know, it's funny when you think about places like Colorado and whatever other states out there have legalized marijuana, and we won't even legalize hemp. So it certainly seems like that's with South Dakota. Obviously, we go through that with a lot of things. We're slower to adopt to national trends, and in many ways that's good. But you certainly got to think that the writing's on the wall on that issue. If the legalized marijuana movement is sweeping across the country, I certainly think hemp would be legalized at some point in South Dakota.
Well, it's interesting that U.S. Senate GOP leader Mitch McConnell supported a provision in the new farm bill that allows for research plots of hemp in the 10 states that permit its cultivation, which is in South Dakota. Kevin, does it seem like this is no longer a Democrat versus Republican issue or a right or left issue?
Certainly not as much. It may have been a little bit earlier, but I think if you're looking at the possibility of providing a crop, and, you know, Alex Whiteplume down on the reservation here at Pine Ridge has been interested in this for a long time and made some moves in that direction, which didn't work out very well for him. But you think about a reservation economy, if they could find out a way to make that crop work down there a little bit, I think it makes sense to look at it and to at least do some research on it.
There are just over 2 weeks left in this year's session before they take a break for any possible vetoes. Seth, any big issues that are yet still to come up for debate that you're looking at? Things like school funding?
That would be one, and then obviously, you know, as you wind down the session, the budget is always the main issue as you get closer and closer to the end. And the Appropriations Committee finishes up all their hearings with all the departments and really starts to nail down the final numbers. And I don't know if there's any other, you know, huge issues that haven't been aired yet besides that, but that'll certainly be interesting to get down to the end and finalize the budget. I think would be the main point of contention.
Kevin Wooster, that's what's the main thing left, the budget?
Yeah, I mean, when you and I had contact this morning, I sent an email to one guy on the governor's staff, and his response was the same that I had. Huh? I don't know. So if there's a big one out there, I don't know, and he doesn't know, and that doesn't mean it can't come up. You know, with the rules they have out there, you get two-thirds at any point to the end. You can bring something up, and away you go with it. But I don't see it right now.
Well, we mentioned Stace Nelson a couple of times last week. He turned in petitions for the U.S. Senate, his campaign. They were approved by the Secretary of State, making him the first candidate on the June ballot. The primary, June will be here before we know it. Do you expect things to start heating up soon, Seth?
You know, I don't think so. You know, one problem that's out there, I think there's a little bit of fatigue. There's so many candidates now out there for Senate and House and Governor. I know I've lost track of some of them, and I don't think I could sit down and write out the list of all the candidates off the top of my head. And, you know, there's clear favorites in each race. Obviously, you got to think that Mike Rounds is a clear favorite in the Senate race, Dugard in the Governor's race, Noem in the House race. And, you know, unless one of these challenger candidates can really get out there and gain traction, which I haven't seen a whole lot of yet, you know, I think people at this point are just sort of looking at the favorites and kind of checking them off on the list. Like I said, unless somebody can sneak in there and grab that attention, but I don't see that happening right now. And as long as that's not happening, the people who are the favorites can sit back and just sort of wait and hold their money and spending until later in the campaign.
Kevin Wooster, do you think things will heat up, or is Seth on target with his assessment?
Well, I would think that you'd see a little bit of Mike Rounds before too long, just to remind people of who he is. And he doesn't. The fact that you don't see very much of him speaks to the fact that he's very comfortable right now, I think, and letting the other candidates kind of make news in ways not so good and okay. I mean, as you say, that Stace Nelson is on the ballot, and he works hard. You can say what you want to about Stace Nelson, but he's a hard worker, and he believes in what he's doing. He believes in his service to this country, and he connects with the, you know, with a percentage of people on that basis. And, you know, he's a likable guy in person when he's not throwing bombs in your direction. But I think it'll be interesting to see if coming out of the legislature, if Larry Roden now focuses on his campaign a little more, if Annette Bosworth can get some of these kind of complicated money issues and other complications. She seems to be conflict-oriented in a lot of areas. And if she can settle those things down, and we can start getting some debates on issues that may bring the guy that's the big weight in this primary, of course, Mike Rounds, to bring him into it so that he engages a little bit, because he hasn't had any reason to do very much so far. And I think that's the interesting point in the next couple of months, whether those other candidates can bring him into the race and make him start to try and counter some of the things that they'll be working against him with.
Seth, looking, do you think that'll happen? You think Mike Rounds will engage his opposition?
Well, not unless he has to. Yeah. You know, as we talked about, and you know, until he has a reason. You know, I was talking to somebody. Obviously, that the big issue out there and a big question about the race is this whole Richard Benda EB-5 visa Northern Beef Packers simmering controversy, and the federal investigation still pending on that apparently. And, you know, all of that happening during Rounds' last term as governor. Personally, I'm interested to see if what candidates, if they try to make hay out of that issue, how that plays into the race. You know, if you're somebody that's, you know, way down in the polls to Mike Rounds, you got to make headway somehow, and that issue is out there. Let's not kid ourselves. I mean, Mike Rounds is a significant favorite and front runner in that race, and yeah, as we've discussed, I unless somebody can really do something or something strange happens with that investigation that really rocks the Rounds campaign, I don't see him being engaged very much at all, for some time.
Kevin Wooster, do you think anything what will come out of those investigations? So far, the ones that we've had from the state pretty much It sounds like it's just maybe some minor problems with money on the part of Benda, at least, what was it, double billing or something like that. Does it seem like we're not going to see any big bombshells there?
I don't really expect any big bombshells, but at the very least on that, you could say there was kind of some slipshod management at some level in that whole process. There was a lot of money moving around. Some of it was going to you know, people that seem to have personal interests in things and personal involvement in how the money was spent. Benda certainly stands high on that list. And I would think somebody with a creative campaign staff with some money, and that's the key, of course, is some money to make message that reaches people. I would think you could come up with a pretty dramatic campaign ad or even a pretty dramatic campaign ad series on EB-5 and a man that was involved in this, a fellow that I liked personally and knew for many years, but who apparently, you know, had some real difficulties and ended up, unfortunately, horribly, apparently killing himself in the end. That's dramatic stuff that we don't deal with very often in this state, and it could be used in a fairly pointed and effective way to probably make the former governor look more culpable or more involved than he maybe perhaps really was.